ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to another episode of Nosebleeds, the podcast where we talk everything across the diamond in Major League Baseball. Last day in May, a lot of things going on around Major League Baseball today. I'm your host, Caleb Stein. Fellas, before we get into a lot of the news from around the diamond, how are we doing today?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, last day in May, going into June, really starting to ramp up into the summer now. The other sports are starting to close and wind down in their playoffs, and we're going to be in a world of only baseball pretty soon. And that's a pretty beautiful world.
You know, I just got to say, we are probably in the best time for baseball. You know, we're getting really into that summer months for the MLB, but the most electric sport in the world, college baseball, where you don't know what is going to happen, is happening right now. I would like to congratulate future Houston Astros, Jace Laviolette, and Tommy Tanks White on getting their first wins of the postseason. You know, it's Tommy's fallen to us this year in the draft. Jace Laviolette's going to go five because the Astros suck. So we're on pace to be back in 3 years. I'm on top of the world right now. Let's get into it.
Someone who's not quite on top of the world right now, Ronald Acuna. Devastating news Sunday night. Season-ending knee surgery for the second time in less than 3 calendar years. So just blow after blow for him. Probably the biggest injury news that we've received this season from Major League Baseball. Is this as big of a hit as a lot of people are saying for the Braves? Do we think that, you know, their season expectations are being drastically adjusted, or is this just a blip in the season for you guys?
I would say it's definitely gonna affect the Braves' like plans for the rest of the season. I think if you were a Braves fan and thinking that you were gonna have like a shot to win the division this season, you can probably kiss that one goodbye. Dude, the Phillies are just too good. It's gotten so ridiculous in that NL East now. The battle between the Phillies and the Braves has been going on for years now, and this year the Phillies are here. And like the year that the Braves lost to Acuna and then won the World Series, they had Freddie Freeman.
Matt Olson, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, you lose MVP talent like Ronald Acuna, and it's for sure going to change the trajectory of your team for the rest of the year.
Yeah, the worst part about the Acuna injury is that it's the opposite knee that he hurt back in 2021. You know, we saw him steal 70-whatever bases last year coming off that knee injury, but he's basically like Yordan Alvarez now, double knee replacements basically. And from my experience as an Astros fan, when you hurt both those knees, you lose a lot. You know, Yordan was never the athlete that Acuna was, but he was noticeably slower coming back from those. Same thing with Alex Bregman and really anyone when they hurt both legs, especially in such a quick time back to back, you see like they lose a lot of athleticism. And a large part of Acuna's game was, you know, his ability to steal the base, to get the extra base on the hits. Really good, or not a great base runner, kind of a stupid base runner. But, you know, you would see him get those extra
aggressive.
Bases.
He's aggressive.
That's what we'll call him. Yeah. And, you know, losing that aspect of his game could be really big for him. So he could end up being one of those what ifs. But to answer your question on what does that mean for the Braves season, you know, as we said, the Phillies are just incredible on another level this year. And I think that may be the year they finally get over the hump. But, you know, the Braves are going to battle it out. The Braves always seem to find ways to bring guys up who are going to contribute, to just find pitchers. You know, you've seen Chris Sale just absolutely dice this year. The Braves have the pitching. The Braves have the hitting. I don't think the Braves are going to want for as much as people think they might.
Some other news injuries around the diamond. We got Yu Darvish tentatively being put on the IL for the Padres. Nothing official yet. Ronald Acuna will undergo surgery in 4 days, June 4th, again, missing the remainder of the season. And another thing that's kind of been brought to light as well, Zach Allen being put on the IL there. Reactions to that, fellas? Anything huge that we still don't have a timeline for it yet? He exited after playing the Mets yesterday. Do you think that's as big of a blow as Acuna to the Braves? I don't think so. Obviously, from a personnel standpoint, he's only a one every five games guy. But what does that look like for the Diamondbacks going forward?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the Diamondbacks are having kind of a weird year. Everyone's seeming to have kind of an off year. Corbin Carroll just been not good this year, really taking a step back. But when you're in the division, same division as the Dodgers, losing your ace for any amount of time, you know, he's going to miss. If he goes on the 15-day, he'll probably miss minimum three starts, right? And those are three games. Like, three games can almost be an insurmountable lead when you're in the same division as the Dodgers. And so, really, every game does matter, no matter how early it is in the season. You know, that's kind of a cop-out. Like, every game matters. But it really does when you're in a division with a powerhouse like the Dodgers. And so, I think this could maybe, I don't want to say be the nail in the coffin, but it could definitely be kind of a warning signal for what's to come for the old Diamondbacks.
Sophomore slump, championship hangover, whatever you want to call it, the Diamondbacks certainly have it. And losing a guy like Zach Gallen, who's just been such a horse in that rotation, it's really devastating to the Diamondbacks pitching staff. It's not as bad of a hit to a team as losing Acuna, but I think it's going to be crucial to the Diamondbacks rotation going forward until they get him back. And it's just going to be about like guys stepping up. I mean, look at a guy like Brandon Pfaadt last year, who really came up out of nowhere and became like a top end pitcher in the Diamondbacks rotation. So losing Gallen sucks, but he will come back. And for now, they just pretty much need to tread water. Like you were saying, Barrett, that NL West is tough. And you just need to try and tread water as long as you can.
Diamondbacks currently 10 games back from the Dodgers, sitting at 25 and 31. So a disappointing season so far for them. Not sure if they'll turn it around. Perhaps the biggest news, arguably even more important and more sort of nationally known among the sports world outside of the Acuna injury, is Angel Hernandez, infamous umpire in Major League Baseball, announcing his retirement. Good riddance, I think, is appropriate to say. I think that's not controversial to say. Although, you kind of miss the booze when you're at a game. You figure out it's Angel Hernandez. That's always a fun time. But just, I guess there's no real discussion there other than it kind of does segue into the ongoing conversation of the possibilities, probabilities, likelihoods of there being AI umpires and, you know, the broader conversation around that. I am vehemently against AI referees, AI umpires, AI script writers, AI everything. And I don't, you know, I'm not a ghost runner guy. I'm not, I'm a pretty traditional guy, not a pitch clock guy at all. So when it comes to AI umpires, I'm pretty hard against that, but I want to get your thoughts on just the Angel Hernandez meme and saga, if you will, and also what it looks like going forward for AI umpires to potentially be implanted on the diamond.
I think it's entirely understandable for people to say good riddance to Angel Hernandez leaving. It's actually like the first thing I typed when I started typing notes for Angel Hernandez was like good riddance. But I thought to myself, like, most people are going to say that. But he wasn't necessarily like the worst umpire in baseball. Yes, he was one of the worst ones, but there were definitely worse umpires in terms of the statistics. His expected accuracy from umpire scorecards was like roughly 93%, which is fairly decent in terms of how umpires go. And it's just like, it almost sucked to an extent to see so many people just hate him for the sake of like collective hating. But I mean, there's like glaring evidence to the contrary that he's a terrible umpire. And it's like all the clips. There was the viral clip from earlier this season where he called three balls as strikes in a row that were all like 3 inches or more off the plate to the outside. So Angel Hernandez, sayonara. But in terms of umps in general, I think like we're going to see it. We are going to see it eventually, or the robotic umps, I mean. And it's because we already see it in the minor leagues with the challenge system. And I think that like with the pitch clock and the way that that got integrated through the minors first and then to the majors, I think we'll see a similar system when it comes to challenging and robotic umpires. But I also think there's always going to be a place for human umpires. Like there's always a place for human error because it's a part of the game. It's a part of baseball. So I don't think robotic umpires will replace umpires fully, but will we see a robotic assistant or some kind of challenge system in the next 5 years? I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the challenge system is probably the best way to implement an AI or a robotic ump. A straight robotic ump is just never going to be the way to go, in my opinion. It's not really feasible either with all the pace of play they're trying to implement and all that other stuff. I think the challenge system is the best way to go because you keep that human element and the tradition in the game. As well as, I don't think you can ever replace the human element in the field either, which is actually, I think, where we get back into the Angel Hernandez. You know, maybe he's not the worst home plate umpire, but man, oh man, was he the worst field umpire I have ever seen. That Yankees-Red Sox game, what was in 2018,
I was just going to bring that one up. I think it was that division series in 2018 or 2019. Yeah, 18.
Horrible in the field. Like
he was going to do the World Series that year too, and because of those calls, he's terrible. He's terrible.
The other thing with Angel Hernandez is I saw a guy on Twitter say this, and I agreed with it almost wholeheartedly. Is, you know, he might not be the worst in terms of accuracy, but he is the worst in terms of his misses. Like you will never. The average umpire, even the below average umpire, will not call a ball 8 inches off the plate a strike, but Angel Hernandez will do that two or three times a game. They might be his only missed calls in the game, but they will be egregious. So the ones that he misses, that's what it is about Angel Hernandez. When he misses bad, and they stick in the memory for forever. Like that Kyle Schwarber when he blew up on him back in 2022, I think it was.
Last season of the season before that, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like that, it's almost shocking that doesn't happen every time he umpires a game. Because not only is it the bad misses, it's his general attitude towards people on the field. You know, both players, managers, and fans, even right. Like there was a spring training game back in 2018 or 2019 where he threw AJ Hinch out of the game on the second pitch of the game in spring training. Second pitch of the game. And he threw him out of the game just because AJ Hinch had said something about him before, a couple days before. That's off topic or kind of on topic, but back into the robotic umps. I do think that the challenge system is a significantly better way to go than the K system or the K zone you see on TV, because realistically that's not accurate.
Yeah, and those aren't even always the same. Those change exactly. Broadcast to broadcast. You can see a ball on one broadcast and a strike on another, but it's actually a ball, or it's on. It's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the technology isn't there yet to have that be implemented, but the challenge system, especially with it, works really well in the minors from what I've seen. But minor league ballparks for the most part don't have Statcast installed, and the Hawkeye system or whatever with all the cameras that all these MLBs. All these MLB stadiums have. So I think that will also significantly help the challenge system just run smoother and, you know, kind of eliminate those Angel Hernandez calls, the CB Buckner calls, you know, throwing it back, the Joe West calls.
Oh, man. Yes,
there you go. Yeah, I think, you put it pretty aptly there. But I feel like, you know, with scorecard, obviously you touched on that, Tucker. It's not terrible. You know, it's not great, but it's not terrible. But in the social media TikTok clip age, that's designed to make Angel Hernandez look terrible, because he may get one or two misses a game, but those misses will be inches from the calls that they should be. Moving on now to early NL and AL MVP predictions. It's not, you know, it's not too up in the air. You know, I got Mookie Betts, and I don't love, you know, I don't love choosing Juan Soto, but I like that he has a decent shot. I feel like, I think that's,
yeah, it's tough. It's tough because we're only a third of the way through the season, you know, so it's like hard to say overarching things about anybody, because like in another couple of months you could be dead wrong because the season flipped on its head or something. But I guess like that's the beauty of way too early awards. I would agree with you though for the AL MVP of Juan Soto, just because Judge took a minute to get going and Soto's pretty much just been out of the gates hot. But it's a two-horse race with them. If anybody else's name is going to get into the mix by the end of the season, one or both of them need to calm down.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I personally, I have Judge just because he's been so good since he got going. Like, I'm since like the third or fourth week, whatever his hot streak started, he's been head and shoulders above the rest of the league. He leads the league in OPS already, even after that slow start. So I think, you know, he started slow, but with how good he's been, I think you can still give it to him. Other names I would throw in there, you know, Barry Bonds. Jose Ramirez. Sorry, I was reading off what I had here, you know, just, you know, must have auto-corrected or something. Jose Ramirez, just if he keeps doing what he's doing, what he always does, if the Guardians can pick it up, you know, and maybe finally cement themselves as the best team in the AL, which they've kind of been attempting to get back to that 2016 glory. But, and then Kyle Tucker. Yikes. Don't get me started on the Astros season. Kyle Tucker is having such a great season. He's slowed off. He would probably have been, if you asked me a week ago, he would have easily been my MVP pick, because without him, the Astros probably would have 5 wins. But, you know, he's kind of cooled off. And so I definitely think he's fallen kind of out of that top pack of the AL. And then on the NL side, I think between Mookie and Ohtani, whoever you want to give it to, kind of in that same Judge Soto role, you know, it is what it is. It does seem like it's two horse races on both sides with teammates trying to just battle it out between each other.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. As I said, it's another two horse race in the NL with Betts and Ohtani. I'm giving the nod to Mookie for now, though, just based on war, because Mookie can generate defensive war, which Ohtani cannot do this season. So,
hey, just
give it over to Mookie for now.
wait for September when you see Ohtani trot out there in left field. Just
no. Could you imagine if they bring him out to pitch late in the season?
No, that won't happen. But he might be cleared to start a throwing program, and then all of a sudden you got Ohtani in left field. Watch out. Just watch out. I don't know what he's going to look like out there. I don't know when the last time he played left field, but oh boy, it'll be
like Yankees left field for like 5 years. We have no idea what's going on out there.
In other news, the Blue Jays City Connect uniform just dropped. So tough. So tough.
Oh, easily one of the better ones we've had. Yeah, if not like a best one, maybe. It's probably up there like in the top five.
I think I'm going to disagree a little bit here in that the first. So they look really good in, you know, that curated photo shoot they had with all the special lighting that, but at the end of the day,
wait till it looks on the field.
Yeah. Wait till it looks on the field when you're like in the middle of the day, because some of the ones I've seen, it is at the end, like a black jersey with a kind of odd color pattern. So when you put that on field, it might not look as great. I'm not a big fan of black pants at all.
And so yeah, I wrote that in my notes. Like what is the deal with the dark pants?
Yeah,
it's like they just the can't Rangers get away one, from it.
The Rangers one with the dark, like the dark, dark navy blue with the cream jersey is the worst thing I've ever seen. They don't wear it with that anymore. That was horrible the first
time.
Yeah,
that's
they wore
another
those.
Thing. All these teams that have the dark pants, they always like wind up using their City Connect like jersey and then just dump the pants and start
Except
wearing
the
different
Astros.
Pants.
I will say the Astros got a nice their Space Cities the are whole, pretty yeah. nice. With the full, but it's like a lighter navy blue, which, or like a lighter, not quite dark navy, which is better. But the like dark colors close to black have been horrendous. Same with like the
Cincinnati's was not terrible.
Yeah. Mm.
But again, that's another thing with like just like the jet black uniform. Like the Mariners' original pants were way too dark. Like it's, yeah. Dark
One
pants
thing I will
go.
Say though, I texted Spitz and I was like, Max Pitts, and I was like, The jerseys aren't great, in my opinion, but the hat is phenomenal. Love the hat with the big T with this
Maple
really,
leaf, yeah.
really nice hat. Debating getting one. That's how nice it is.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, I mean, I think from a kind of aesthetic fashion perspective, Blue Jays, City Connects are pretty tough, but day games will make them look pretty bad. I don't, night games might be all right though on the field for,
Well, I don't know.
yeah,
They're
get those
pretty.
tough ones.
They're up there in Toronto. They don't deal with the heat all that long, and they can just close the roof.
Right. Well, more from like I'm saying more like with the, sun shining down
Or
the
from how they
upper.
look? Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, I was thinking from like a player
Yeah,
health
but yeah,
perspective.
at night get those big old LEDs on them.
Ooh.
Get some of that shine instead of. Yeah, under the lights they could be better, but just from what I've seen outside of their photo shoot, they haven't been great. Because I think it also goes back to the horrible, horrible jerseys this year. The super thin material. Just we don't need
Yeah,
to get back into that, but they haven't been
that's been a
good.
complete disaster. Hopefully by next season we'll just be talking about this where like, hey, remember when the Fanatics
Remember when
jerseys
the
were
jerseys were
terrible that one
horrible?
year and
Yeah.
then like never again? Yeah, that would be great.
I hope. I think that they fixed the pants thing in that they just stopped using the new pants, but the jerseys themselves haven't been great.
The fix was just stop wearing the
Just
pants you
don't
made
do
for
it.
this
Yeah.
year.
Incredible stuff there from them.
Oh yeah, absolutely love to see
Other news, Yankees, obviously the main thing there. The streak snapped, 21 games.
But I mean, how about it? What a
How about,
streak.
oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, coming that close was,
And
I
Volpe,
guess, good
and
to
he
see.
continues straight. Even the nights when Volpe goes 0 for 4, like you don't go the night without hearing his name at least once because he's normally in the field, like just producing a brand new web gem for all of us to enjoy. It's insane. He's got another gold glove season cooking, and it's like Volpe just looks better and better and better.
Yeah, if that bat can come around on Volpe, I mean, he'll be just he has a if that bat can be the way it's looked the last month or so, he has an argument to be the best shortstop in baseball, right? Up there with Bobby Witt and up there with Gunner. Because for the last month or so, he's hit with them and he plays arguably better defense than all of them. Well, he definitely better defense than Gunner, arguably better than Bobby Witt. And so when you put that together, he has an argument to be one of the better shortstops in baseball. And so if the Yankees can add that to the already just dynamic duo of Soto and Judge, then I mean, watch out. This may finally be the year for no. But you got to get past the Astros.
Yeah, there you go. The Mets looking at more news off the field or field adjacent rather than news on it, as if their lack of success on the field isn't cause for concern for Mets fans anyway. Jorge Lopez DFA'd after being ejected, threw his glove into the stands, said he didn't regret it. I think I've been looking like the worst teammate probably in the whole effing MLB. And I feel like that just, I mean, there are so many phrases that Mets fans use. Mets are gonna Met. And I feel like this is such a Metting situation for
More Met, just even
big
more
lol
Met.
Mets moment. Big lol Mets
Yeah,
moment.
it's just I just what a absolute public relations nightmare
I
for the
mean, could it have
Mets.
been handled any worse? I don't think so.
It's like a disaster on all fronts between like the front office having to just bring the hammer down and DFA him and just say like
For
that's not
something he may or
acceptable.
may not have said.
Yeah, I know, and that was even worse because he said like I feel like the worst teammate in the MLB right now. And then like the next day, all of social media is saying that he said the Mets are the worst team in baseball. So he has to come out and make like a public apology, like, I'm sorry I tried to communicate to you guys in
And the word
broken English that I was the
he
worst
doesn't speak anywhere
teammate.
close to fluent English, and he's
Like
trying to
that
do, where is his
exactly.
translator? Where
Yeah, it's
is his
so unfortunate. He
translator?
just he, like one time he tried to articulate himself in English and it just created a complete
Completely
nightmare.
backfired. And then just, I mean, whether or not the Mets DFA'd him for his performance or his comments, just horrible look, just DFAing him for something. The whole team's been horrible. So DFAing him
You
for
can just send him down, right? Like,
crazy. Especially for a guy who was one of the better relievers in baseball just 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he was also one of the Mets' better pitchers in a 3.76 ERA. I mean, it's not great, but on the Mets,
He's got close to like a 5 FIP though. So the underlying numbers maybe weren't great, but still bad luck.
And it definitely doesn't help the Mets overall, because this being the headline for the Mets, it just pretty much tells you exactly how the Mets are doing right now.
It's not like they've got anything better chasing it.
Yeah, no. I mean, and Brett Beatty just got sent down last Friday. He got sent back to AAA. Their offense has been pretty much abysmal across the board. Their leading average is Starling Marte at .267.
Goat.
Brandon Nimmo is batting .209 through 53 games with 56 strikeouts.
Those are numbers you really, really love to see if you're anyone but a Mets fan.
Those are Met numbers. It's just, the Mets are Metting right now.
And they just started Metting some more. We're down one, now down two against the D-backs at home. We're only top one. So.
Oh, great.
It'd get even worse if that's.
Oh, but Sebby's on the hill, though. He is a bit of a bright spot if there are any. Severino and Sean Manaea have both looked all right as the two guys at the front of the rotation. Sebby's WHIP is down to 1.16, which is
nice. He keeps that up. Yeah. That's where he might be. If he keeps pitching like that, you know, he might be able to win the Mets some games, which
a game
he was an ace
not a lot of people
Yankees.
Are doing.
He was an ace across the seven train, so maybe he can find his form again and lead the Mets rotation.
To be fair, he was an ace in like 17 games that he played over the course of like 5 years. So,
he counts as an ace for all the years he was injured.
He was
though.
An ace that one time.
That one time, what was that, 2019 or?
He was an ace when he got shelled against
18?
The Twins and came out.
Was it 18 or 19 when he was just lights out? I think he was an all-star.
I believe it was 2018 when we actually got a full season out of Sevy. It was either 18 or 19.
To be fair, full season Sevy is pretty electric.
It was so nice, but just the injuries kept him. It just kept him off the mound for so long, and he would come back and not make a massive impact, and it just went by the wayside. He really thought he was going to be a Yankee for his whole career, but that wasn't the way the cookie crumbled. Now he's on the other end of New York, doing pretty okay things.
On the baseball side, not at all the better side of New York. The Mets, 15 and a half games back, probably about to be 16. If there's
a worse record than the Nationals
on that,
that's hard to do.
Yeah, 3.5 behind the Nationals. Yankees playing so far I would say the toughest division in the American League.
Definitely
the AL East.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
At least at the top for now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that top two, 3, 4, 5 isn't threatening at all. But that top two, Yankees and O's, I feel like it could go either way.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about that is the Yankees have been playing so well, and the O's are still right there.
The O's are right there. Yeah,
just 2 games behind. Yeah. Well, a lot that was discussed: injuries, umpires, good baseball, Yankees, bad baseball, Mets.
Mediocre baseball, Angel Hernandez.
There you go. Embarrassing baseball, Mets. Embarrassing storylines, also Mets.
Also Mets.
A lot of things going on. For Tucker and Barrett, I'm Caleb Stein. Nosebleed is a production of WFUV Sports. Thank you.